I'm starting a new sermon series today, Grow in Christ-likeness. I'm thinking of doing 6 sermons altogether, and today is series number 1, Love. When we have committed ourselves to Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Bible calls it spiritual rebirth or born again. Let me repeat. When you and I have committed ourselves to Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Bible calls it spiritual rebirth or born again or born from above. From then on, as a newborn baby in Christ, we begin to grow in our faith. Now, as we grow in Christ-likeness, the first thing you and I will demonstrate in our life, and the first thing that people will notice from us, is love. Not the love for ourselves, but the love for others. Because Christ in us gradually changes and transforms us from a self-centered person to a Christ-centered person. So this morning my sermon is not about love itself or quick tips on how to love or that sort of self-help tips on love. If you want that, you could just Google it, how do I love others? And it'll shoot out, you know, hundreds of different ways that you could love others. My sermon this morning is rather about Christ. It is about growing into Christ-like character. It is about how to be like Jesus and partaking in his character. And this is how I see it. When you and I become like Christ, Christ attributes such as love, grace, gentleness and kindness and truth and justice and mercy will form in our character and naturally will flow out of from us into our daily lives, in our words and in our actions. Now here's an example. If you read the John chapter 15, you'll see Jesus using an analogy. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches and my Father is a gardener. Imagine that. If you want to bear grapes, fruits of the vine, right? And you are the branches that, you know, do the job. Can you imagine any branches working so hard by themselves still, you know, not attached to the vine? Would it work? Everyone knows that no, it's not going to work. The key is that you have to be attached to the vine. And all branches do is just bearing fruit. You don't have to do extra work. That's what I'm saying. You and I are the branches and Christ is the vine. And being in Christ and attached to him, we will learn and we'll draw the strength from him and naturally, keys that naturally demonstrate or bear fruits of his character and the attributes. That's why I said love itself is not important, but being with Christ and in Christ is important. Now once again, my goal this morning is to help all of us to imitate Christ in every aspect so that we may become little Christs. I'm quoting from the C.S. Lewis. And so let's dive into today's topic, love. Now, if you read the text again, John 13, 34 and 35, I'm going to read it to you one more time. It's printed in your bulletin as well. A new command or commandment I give you, Jesus saying it, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, first of all, to love one another is not an option or a suggestion, is it? It is rather a commandment. And therefore, you and I cannot be choosy to love or not love, depending on our moods or circumstances, like we cannot be choosy with the 10 commandments. Christ commands us to love one another, period. The next thing is this. Let's ponder the meaning of love one another as Christ says, as I have loved you, just as Christ has loved us, we are to love each other. Which means, unless you and I know His love, and unless we have experienced His love for us firsthand, we cannot fully love one another as Christ has loved us. We can read and hear about Christ's love and try to understand intellectually how Christ has loved us, but it's not the same as, in fact, far inferior to the firsthand experience of Christ's love. Here's an example. You and I could read all the books in the world about love between man and woman, and how they fall in love with each other. But all those information cannot trump or even come close to your own experience of falling in love with your sweetheart. Remember, first time you fall in love with someone, how wonderful it was? I told you that the first-hand experience of Christ's love is the key to love one another with Christ's love. So this is what I did as I was preparing my sermon this past week. I asked a simple question for myself. Okay, I'm going to talk about Christ's love for us, and do I know what I'm talking about? And that question led me to three more questions. Number one, how Jesus loved His disciples back then, 2,000 years ago. And how, second question, how Jesus loved me now. And the third question was, what the Bible says about His love for us all. First question, how did Jesus love His disciples 2,000 years ago? So that He says, as I have loved you, remember what I have loved you and follow. So this is what I've discovered. Christ loved them as God loved Him. Christ loved them as God loved Him. Jesus experienced God's love firsthand, then passed the same love onto His disciples. He loved them with truth and grace, for example. He loved them through His examples, and He also loved them with grace and forgiveness. How could He forget? He forgave Peter, who denied Him three times in a row. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times in a row in a couple of hour frame. The last one was so bad that after he did, Peter went out and the Bible says wept bitterly. He cried out, wailed. How, why? Because last time someone said, oh, I know you. You belong to Jesus. Because your accent, the way you speak, you know, just gives you away. Peter said, no, I never knew that man. If I do, let me be cursed. That's what he said. He put a curse on himself. And guess what? Christ forgave him three times. What would you call? I would call grace. How could we forget the story in John chapter 8 where Christ was in the temple and they brought a woman who was caught in the middle of adultery? Lord, what did you do with this woman? According to the law, we are to stone her to death. We all remember the story. Christ says, let anyone without sin be the first one to throw a stone at her. And of course, we all know the story. They all disappeared. And Christ says, woman, I do not condemn you either. Go in peace and sin no more. So what do you say? I would say that's such a wonderful and powerful story and example of grace and forgiveness. That's how He loved them. He loved them with humility too. He washed their feet. It was unthinkable those days, master or teacher stooped down and, you know, washing their dirty feet. It was rather servant, slave's job, but He did that. Jesus loved them by laying down His own life on the cross, and He died on their behalf. And that's how Jesus loved His disciples back then. My next question was, how did Jesus love me? I asked myself, have I experienced Christ's love after all in my life? Personally, can I testify and explain to anyone how Jesus loved me? So one day, this is what I did. I asked the Lord, Lord, how did you love me? And I took time recalling and writing down every single incident that I remember when Christ appeared to me and demonstrated His love for me. Here are some examples. Jesus patiently tolerated, I'm using the right word, with patience, tolerated my foolishness when I gave him a silly ultimatum of 2 hours, demanding his answer right away for my question. I said, Lord, if you don't answer me within the next 2 hours, guess what I'll do? I'll quit. Did Jesus answer my question in 2 hours? No. Did I quit? No. I didn't. But you know what? After I said, okay, I give up, there was such a strange peace flooding all over my heart, saying that, my child, why are you so impatient and foolish, actually? I remember. And I also remember numerous times he put up with my stubbornness of heart. Ask my wife, she'll tell you how stubborn I can be at times. Christ forgave my sins over and over again. He would answer my questions in ways that I understand. If you ever wonder, Lord, I want to have experience like Pastor Choi. Isn't it wonderful? No, no, don't ask God to do that. Because God will answer and appear to you in the ways that you alone would understand. You know what I mean? And this is how Jesus answered my question in ways that I understand. I remember heading out to the seminary in the 1980s. Of course, you're worrying about who's going to, you know, pay all the tuitions for 3 years in education and who's going to, you know, support my family. I was married at the time. So I asked God, Lord, I need your assurance. Help me. And Lord directed me into Daniel chapter 1 verse 5, where it says, the context is that, you know, all the young Hebrew boys were captured and they were captives and they were trained in the king's court for 3 years. It says that the king will provide their food and clothing and train them in king's court so that after 3 years of training, he would put them into service, king's service. That's what the verse 5 says. So as I was reading it, I almost felt like God is speaking to me. Who's the king in your life? I said, you, Lord. How many years of education in the seminary? 3 years. What does the king do here for the boy trained, providing clothing and shelter and food? And what happens after 3 years? The king is going to put them into king's service. When I was reading that, God was just comparing my life in the seminary 3 years, just verse by verse. And God says, I'll take care of your needs. Sure enough, I graduated with seminary 3-year education with no single dime of debt. Praise God. That's how God answered my prayers. I still remember most recently I was asking, you know, just God in my prayers, Lord, you remember doing the prayer 40, 40, 40? This is what I do, Lord. Very simple. You know, open the church directory beginning with A, going down all the way to Z, calling each person's name, whether I know them or not, pacing around. That's what I do. And I said, I'm about to challenge my congregation, Lord, you know, to do this as prayer. And I think I could use a little more sophisticated way of prayer. I was asking God, if, you know, you can teach me. And, you know, the way I heard is God saying that, don't worry. If there's any more sophisticated than this one, I'll let you know. So I said, Lord, that's good enough. So God answered in the ways that I only understand, which is good. And also, he was there for me in moments of anxiety and fears and confusion. And he kept his promise of providing my daily needs. And he gave me life and health every day. And he granted me wisdom and courage in crisis. And he gave me a free gift of eternal life and the hope of a resurrection. And he protected me from evil one, the devil. And in a nutshell, I would say this. Jesus loved me in the same way a loving parent loves his or her child. He was there for me, kept his promises and provided my needs and protected me from any harms and guided me with truth and grace through my life. So I got second answer to my question. Okay, first question was, how did Jesus love his disciples 2,000 years ago? I got answer. And how did Jesus love me? I got the answer. And third time I said, Lord, I want to know how you love the people in the world, including us. Of course, I checked out the Word of God to discover that. And in a nutshell, this is what it says. Christ loved us sacrificially and unconditionally. Remember John 3:16, all of us know by heart. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that by heart. God loved you and me that he gave his only Son to us. Christ, the sinless, died on the cross and paid the penalty of our sins on our behalf. That's the essence of the gospel, and he died in our place as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And that's why the Bible calls Christ's love sacrificial. In fact, his love is so great that because he loved us, and even when we did not deserve his grace, he loved, may I say, the undeserving and the unlovable. What amazing about his love is that he did not wait until you and I became lovable. As far as I'm concerned, that moment of becoming lovable perhaps would never come. I always, you know, stumble over something. And his love does not depend on how we have been good or bad. His love, like the sun, shines on the evil and the good, and his love, like rain, comes down on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He is gracious to all, both good and bad. Did you know that he even loved his betrayer, Judas Iscariot, till the end? Are we not glad, therefore, his love is not based on our goodness or his own mood? Christ says, I feel bad today, so I'm not going to love you. I feel so great today, so you are loved. No, Christ never says that. Rather, his love is absolutely based on his will to obey God no matter what. And that's how he went to the cross. Remember Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? If possible, remove this cup. And after praying three times, he went on to the cross, simply to obey God no matter what. And that's why the Bible says Jesus loves us unconditionally and sacrificially. Now, into this practice of such great love, Christ, God calls you and me. His call is for us to imitate him and to practice his love for one another. He wants us to live out our faith with the same love as he has demonstrated for us. And by now, I'm sure all of us, myself included, are overwhelmed with such a tall call, if you will, or high expectation from God. Oh, no, I cannot even come close. Remember, though, God would not command us to do something impossible. Of course, with our own might, you say, I cannot even come close to Christ's love. Of course we cannot. However, with God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can. And that's why the obedience to the Lord is so essential. You say that, Lord, I can't do it. Of course you cannot. And God says, will you obey me? And when you obey him, then that happens and becomes a possibility. Now, we also can love others with Christ's love when God pours his love into our hearts. God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a story of a Christian. I read this story from a book written by Tony Campolo about 10 years ago. It's a story about a parent. Now, his son was studying in Philadelphia, and one night he got into the wrong back alley, whatever happened, and as you could imagine, something bad happened. He was mugged and later on murdered by the street gang. Several of them attacked him and killed him. So several days later, all these, perpetrators were arrested. On the day of arraignment, the parent flew in. Happened to be South Korean, Mr. Ho, H-O, a Christian. people went into the courtroom, and you know, just things going on, and at some point of time, Mr. Ho, speaking through the translator, asked the judge if he could speak. So the judge said, sure, go ahead. So he walked toward the center of the, you know, the courtroom there, and all of a sudden he knelt down on the floor. You know, the judge sits on the high place, and he sat, you know, knelt down on the floor. And this is what he basically said to the entire people, including the perpetrators. Your Honor, my son is gone. I cannot have him back, but I do know where he is. However, I look at this young man, more than one person, mind you. I don't want them to serve their life sentence in prison. So what I'm asking, I forgive them. I'm a Christian, I forgive them. Would you release them so that they would have their own life? That's what he was asking. Shocked everybody, including those guys, bad guys. Judge, he was deeply moved. He was in tears. He says, sir, I understand where you come from. However, that's not how the justice system works in America. So he denied the request. But I still remember what a Christian witness it was. When you love one another as I have loved you, Christ says, all the people will know that you are my followers. By your love, he says, they will know that you are my disciples. Well, of course, the real question is, where do we start? How do we put Christ's love into daily practice? That's the real question, isn't it? As much as we admire Mr. Ho and his Christian love and witness, let's not begin with big things like that. You know, we tend to begin with the big things. Oh, look at that. I can't do it. Therefore, we just give up. No. Let's not even think of loving everyone in the world at this point. Rather, let's begin small in our daily lives and in the places where God has planted us. Once again, I hope you understand, I was born and raised in South Korea, so many stories, good stories I heard about the Koreans. But here's another one. During the World War II, there was a young man, his name was Mr. Kim, let's call Kim, who wanted to liberate Korea from the Japanese occupation. He wanted to join the Liberation Army to fight with weapon, you know, in his hands, to fight the tyranny of the colonialism. He went to his mentor one last time before he joined the Liberation Army for advice. The wise mentor asked him if he truly loved his country. Kim said, yes, definitely. I would die. And then he gave him a huge piece of bread and asked him to finish the whole thing in one bite. And of course, Kim couldn't do it, no matter how hard he tried. He had to eat the bread one bite at a time. The mentor said to him, you see, that's what you're trying to do. I advise you to go home instead and start with small things that matter to the community. One day at a time. What's the lesson behind here? Begin small from where you are and with what you can do, right? So how about being like Jesus in our home first? Begin with our thoughts and words we say, and start with small actions and interactions with our family members. Now, speaking of families, I don't have to remind you how many homes and families today in America are dysfunctional or broken. I can say, though, had Christ-like love been practiced in our homes and families, the problems would have been far less than what we have today. So let us start loving our family members as Christ has loved us, sacrificially and unconditionally. Let us restore our homes and heal our wounds with Christ's love. And let's ask the question of, what would Jesus do? Remember, several years ago we used to do that. And let's serve others as Christ has served us, and let us lay down our lives for our loved ones as Christ did. three action points for you to think about. First one is that I highly encourage you to write down your own statement of how Jesus loved me. It tremendously helped me. Number two, pray that the Holy Spirit would pour out God's love in your heart. And number three, start loving others with Christ's love. Let's bow our heads and pray. Christianity, in my humble opinion, is such a religion of practicality. It is so practical that we can apply into our daily lives. The first thing Christ says to love one another as I have loved you. Lord, I humbly ask you to help us to experience your love in the 21st century so that we could reciprocate and repeat what we have learned from Christ to love others as you have loved us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.